would hope so. I mean, we've been... Oh, why is my thing not working now?
It's working.
I would hope so, because we've been sitting around talking for an hour, and this is the first I'm hearing about us maybe not being okay.
I just want to know if we're okay, because we... Two episodes ago, we recorded probably our most... Like, we had the most... We've had, ever since then, the most controversy we've ever had.
I think we probably lost follower. We lost our listener, probably.
Yeah, so at this point, are we just doing this podcast to hear ourselves talk?
I don't know that it's ever not been that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, two episodes ago, Thomas said that dogs don't love us.
No. Putting my foot down right now.
And I was on the side of dogs do love us.
This is how. This right here. That was fake news. That was not even true. That's the quote I've been quoted at. That's what people have been saying. I've said those words never left my mouth.
Yeah, but okay. So they're the.
This is baloney.
But the heart of what you said was that dogs don't love us.
Nope, not the heart of what I said. The heart of what I said was, and you know what? We're not even going to do that. I proved it this week multiple times with my own dog. All she wanted was a treat from me or a belly scratch. The moment I asked anything else of her, she acted like I didn't exist. That is the truth. And she's a good dog. But the moment I opened the peanut butter pretzel box, she'll do anything I ask. You want to shake my hand? Sure. Here's my paw. You want me to play dead? Great. I will do it. Now give me my peanut butter pretzel.
So you're doubling down.
Yes. I'm not backing up on that. Nobody said dogs don't love us. Nobody said that. Thomas said dogs prefer people who give them food. It is daggum truth. Give me a room full of dogs, then one person, and then give me a room full of people, and give one of those people food. See where the dogs go.
What I'm saying to you is that I think they also have affection for us aside from the fact that we feed them. And I think that's where people got hurt a little, like personally hurt.
Can you prove it?
Oh, dude, of course our dogs love us. Like, they love us for the companionship.
Again, I do think dogs love us.
Do you, Thomas?
Yes.
I don't think that's what any of us heard in our hearts.
Well, yeah, I can't help how you hear things. Let's just put it that way. It's fine. You can hear whatever you want to hear.
Wow. So I thought we were going to clear the air, but it feels like we're just back in the same place.
Did you think? It felt more like you let a stink bomb off.
I'm on the side of dogs.
Rewind
love their
it real
owners.
Quick and say what you quoted me as saying that I did not say. What?
All I'm saying is I think a lot of listeners of this podcast have dogs that they love, and they also know that that dog loves them. And so I think that's why it's difficult.
I think what's going to have to happen with this episode is we're going to have to release this 5-minute segment as a standalone episode. We're going to need to part for about 6 hours and then come back and record the real thing. Because I'm fired up right now.
Here's another question that's related. Do the Georgia Bulldogs fans, do they love them no matter what? Like, whether or not they win this weekend?
Here's another question related. Did you eat a pizza when we were in Chicago covered in cheese? I'm just wondering.
I did eat some pizza in Chicago. You just pull up all the tropes from this.
Listen.
From this podcast.
All I'm saying, you put your foot down when I asked you to try one bite of ice cream, but you ate a cheese.
Because ice cream is worse on me. Ice cream hurts me.
But how
physically and immediately.
Okay. I got a donut ice cream sandwich in Chicago. Gosh. It was an apple cider donut. Soaked in apple cider.
It was so
covered
good
in
too.
Cinnamon sugar with homemade ice cream.
Homemade?
And I said, yeah. I said, Lee, try this. And you said, I can't do the dairy. After I watched you eat a pizza for lunch. And I believe I think Jenna King was like, come on, Thomas, he can't eat dairy. And I was like, what?
Yeah, Jenna, how did you get this? Jenna, that was one of those moments where, you know, where I just, it's like fist bump to Jenna when you feel truly seen and known. It was really kind.
Yeah.
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a podcast where Thomas is really fired up today.
Well,
but to be honest, he needed it. He was feeling pretty tired. The show opened with the longest yawn you've ever had on air.
Nobody has to know that. Nobody knows.
The question is, am I going to edit it out?
Probably not. We don't edit this show.
Not much. Every now and then, Thomas pulls the mic down and says, "You have to take that out."
Yeah. Usually, it's because I have just like said something that I shouldn't have.
That's the only way. Dogs don't love their owners.
All right. My wife only listens to this show because of that laugh right there. She'll literally say to me, "I just wanted to laugh, so I needed to listen to the show." And it's not because of me. It's because of the noise you make now when you laugh. It's a new laugh you've developed in the past 3 years.
I don't know where it's from.
You've inherited Potsy's wheeze.
Oh, well, I think it's a... Maybe there's a corollary between, like, age and that laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Like, maybe you develop... 40.
Yeah. There it is. You sound like you've smoked your whole life.
It's like, what did you get for your birthday? I got the wheeze. I now laugh that way.
It's a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance into 40.
One of my favorite things in the world is to get a laugh text from like Austin or Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Like just an audio text. Yeah, recording of a great laugh. Do you have some scriptures in the Bible?
Sure. One of my favorite things in the world is the Bible. No, one of my favorite things in the world is to get Potsy to laugh really hard when he's in the middle of consuming something.
Oh, yeah. it's like part of your daily goal.
Wait till he's drinking something and then just subtly drop something and he chokes.
And then after his laugh, he looks at you and goes, "Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Why did you do that to me?"
I wish everyone who listens to this show could hear Potsy tell the story of the coughing squirrel, because it made me laugh.
We're going to save that one.
For 30 minutes nonstop.
We might open the show with that next week.
Okay. We're going to Romans 11 and we're going to look at that doxology. And I have a new take on it, I guess. Wow. Well, I don't know if it's a new take, but I just...
Are you going to do the song? Are you going to do the impression?
Oh, the depth of the riches. Nah, we're good. Of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Do you think Andrew Peterson listens to our show?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so at all. I don't think he does. But yeah, okay. So
we don't know that he doesn't, though. Like, we're not... It's not like we're looking at his podcast feed and we're not there, you know?
Sure. I don't think a lot of people listen to this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a downer. It's just like, it's like I was having a great day until two things happened.
Well, we don't do this for listeners. I mean, for numbers of listeners. We do this for our listeners, but not for the numbers of listeners. Oh, boy. All right, so we're going to read this.
Go ahead. Romans chapter 11.
Romans 11. Okay. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." The thing I just like, I read this recently and I had your son saying "absolutely bodied" in my head. Like, he does that accent because there's some Twitch follower likes.
Yeah. Or, there's a YouTube gamer that he watches that, by the way, is American. But when this gamer like eliminates someone in a game, he doesn't just say like, "Oh, you got eliminated." He says, "absolutely bodied."
Yeah. Well, I felt that when I read this.
That's awesome.
Which is funny because I like
that it was like an elbow drop.
You know, like, I don't know about context wise, like what Paul was really thinking.
Yeah.
But as I was reading it, like, the "who has known the mind of our Lord and who has been his counselor, it feels snarky a little bit.
Yeah.
And for good reason. Okay, so because it's really easy for us in our faith to look at, like, because there are places in the Psalms where David is, you know, speaking his heart and is having a hard time, and he's asking a lot of the Lord, and he's begging him to change something. I would imagine, and I could be wrong about this, someone could totally prove me wrong, but I think it's lopsided in the fact that there's probably a lot more praising and worshiping and... Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. You did not seem convinced.
No. I think you're right. There are lament psalms, and there are those psalms where David's literally just like, what the heck?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why would you treat us this
so
way?
So I think there's
but there's not a ton of those.
Right. And I think there's, obviously, like, I think we're good to do that. It's in the scriptures.
Yeah.
I think though, if we find our, if we find the scale tipping too far. Did you discover an arm hair that was ridiculous?
No, it was just, okay. I thought I had a, it's one of those, like, you know, when you realize all of a sudden you've got like a spider web wrapped around your eyes or something like that. And you're like, how long has this been here? Like, when did I walk through a spider web? You don't know that feeling.
And not in my eyeballs.
Well, like, just tough. Like, yeah, you just feel it. Like you feel a spider web on your head or something like that. That's what it was like. I think I have a spider web on my arm. Oh. And I just discovered it. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
What were you saying?
Oh, I think if you realize that the scale has been tipped the wrong way for a while, like
In your own attitude.
Yeah, so I'm not saying like, okay, you're going through a hard thing, and all you can do is, you know, have a hard time and talk about the Lord. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying if you find yourself on the other side of that though, and you realize the majority of my life, my prayers to the Lord are lamentations about stuff, and I'm the victim of everything the Lord has done to me.
Yeah.
I think it's probably time to like reassess some things, because as Paul is saying, like who has been his counselor? That's where it felt like an elbow drop to me. It's like, what do we know?
Wow.
So, and that,
it's pretty swaggery.
Right. And it could be like, I'm not saying this to people who are going through a hard time. That's not where I'm coming from. I need to make that really clear, because I absolutely know the feeling of, I'm going through a hard time, I need the Lord to hear all about it, and I need to ask him why it's happening. Like that,
right.
there's a space for that. What I'm saying is, if you look back over the scope of your life and you realize my whole approach to the Lord is from the side of being a victim of his somehow.
Yeah.
I think it's worth reassessing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's a pretty heavy lean. And again, I could be wrong. Someone could go count all 150 and just say like, yeah, it's actually 75-75, like, of lamentations to praising. Like, I don't think it's true though. I think it's probably pretty heavy the other way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking at this. I looked at the scripture today and I thought, like, it feels snarky, but it's just like, it's just because it's absolutely true. Like, who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? You're like, I've never done anything that God needs to repay me for, except I deserve to be repaid with absolute destruction. Like, you know, like, that's it. Like, what do I deserve to be repaid for? Well, I deserve to be dumped in a vat of boiling oil, and that deserves to be my existence. You know, like that. I deserve to be vaporized.
It's like a Batman villain.
Yeah. Like earlier, we were looking for batteries to do this show. Like that, we spent like 10 minutes this morning on a hunt for batteries because we don't have AA batteries here. Please send batteries. And there was a cockroach on the floor in the children's area where I was looking for batteries, and it was just like flailing on its back, and part of me was like, I feel sorry for you, I want to turn you over so you can run, but that would be unhealthy. So I just was like, smash, you know, like I crushed it.
I didn't know that was going that way.
I destroyed that thing.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, that's like, do I deserve anything from the Lord? That's it. And I don't get it. I've never gotten it. I've never once gotten the foot stomp of human to a cockroach. Like I deserve. My exoskeleton has not just been demolished by a much heavier being, and that's what I deserve from the Lord. Like, I deserve to be stomped on And I don't.
You
I
don't
haven't
have
done
an
it.
Exoskeleton.
You haven't. No one told me this before. Yeah. That was snarky. Sheesh.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We're not getting what we deserve. It's awesome. And there's like the part of the context of this. He talks about the idea of the Lord being the potter and us being the clay in this chapter, and which is like there's, you know, like in Jeremiah chapter 18 where he's like, go down to the potter's house, and he's just like, this is our relationship. I'm the artist. You're the medium. I'm making something beautiful. I'm making something useful. The medium that I, the artist, am working with doesn't actually make any calls in that process. And that's because I know what I'm doing.
Like, yeah, the clay's like, add some more water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think that's like realizing that there's actually some freedom in just kind of saying like, hey, I don't know and I don't have to know. Mm. I was always the kid who like, when I got my driver's license, I didn't know how to get anywhere. Because when I get in a car, like I just don't pay attention.
Okay.
I'm just talking or just singing or just whatever, or listening to someone else talk. I'm not paying attention to what street we turned on or anything like that. I'm just like my whole life, I just trusted the driver. And a lot of times I just fell asleep. Like I notoriously, when a car engine starts, I get sleepy.
Yeah.
And
well, it's much like our mother's womb. You're moving and swaying and it's really loud. Sorry, I'm getting ready for parenthood, and I've been reading the books.
For that. Yeah, there's the four, the five S's.
Five S's, yeah.
Yeah, the five S's. Don't discount sway. I said four. I don't want to just throw sway out. No, sway is important. But anyway, I think this is kind of a swaggery statement, but I think if we do accept it, I think there's some freedom in it. Like, not just like, hey, you don't deserve anything, you don't know anything, let that be the end of it. But like, hey, I'm never going to get what I deserve, exactly as you said. And I don't have to know everything. I get to be the kid.
That's funny because I've gone through seasons in my life where like, all I want is to know everything. Like, all I want is to know what's next, what's next, what's next, what's next. And that is when I mean, I feel like when I look back at my late teens and early 20s, that's where I was at in life. Like, what's next? But I'm getting comfortable, and I actually kind of like the, like, I don't know. We'll see. Like, the Lord's in charge. And that's kind of, like, it is true. I know how this ends. Mm-hmm. And that's something we can all take time and, like reassess and think, wait, I know the ending of this.
Yeah.
Like we all, not all of us, but a lot of people like to, you know, when they buy books, they want to flip to the last page and see, how does this thing end? Is it worth me reading the whole thing? Or like, they want to Google how the TV show that they're watching, that's suspenseful.
That's literally my daughter, Anna.
Yeah. Like
she always spoils everything for herself.
Yeah.
And then she goes back and enjoys it.
Right. So I think I'm getting comfortable. Like we know that already as followers of Jesus, we know exactly how this ends. That's a cool thing about this faith. Like we get to know how this whole thing plays out. Which is so cool because I think a lot of suspense and like in like a TV show and stuff is like, not only do I not know how this plays out, but I don't know how we even get there. Like we get a big part of that though, which is cool. I don't know how this took that turn.
I liked it.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. That was such, you had a lot of like energy behind that.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
Second, can we go to Second Thessalonians?
No.
Wow.
Sorry. What's wrong with me?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, look, I think we can all tell that you're a little like you're not totally in your right mind this morning. And I
quit coffee.
What?
Yeah.
You're about to have a baby and you quit coffee?
Yeah.
Por qué?
I get canker sores.
You quit because of the kinks?
Yes. Everything I read, it's like the top thing. That's like, if you get canker sores, stop drinking coffee.
Oh, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would go with the kank.
No, Lee. No. Try eating a salty chip with a canker sore.
I think my dog loves me, and I think I prefer the kank and the cough. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm sorry about the cankers.
Mm-hmm.
T's upset. I've upset him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 11 says this: "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith." There's a lot of cool things in here. But the thing that really, really grabbed my attention, the reason I wanted to talk about it on the podcast, is that one, there's this thing that I feel like I want to inject into my own prayers, just this idea that that by God's power, he may fulfill every good purpose of mine. I'm like, oh, yes, please. Like everything that I want that's good, everything that I'm about that's good, yes, God, like, please, by your power, right, fulfill those things. That would be awesome. But one, because there's a lot of, I have a lot of purposes. Not all of them are good. Some of them are stupid. But some of them are, like, really good.
Yeah.
And so please, please fulfill those by your power. But also, this other little thing, that every act prompted by your faith. Sometimes Paul will do this where he, it's almost like he's personifying my faith, your faith. Like, almost like my faith, your faith, are their own, it's like it's its own person. Like, my faith is prompting me to do things. There's me.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's my faith. And my faith is like, hey, do this. Hey, when you talk to this person, like, mention this thing. Hey, when you, when this difficult thing happens to you, respond in this way. Handle this situation like this. Like, almost like I've got, it's like, you know how, I guess, like, with like pro football players and stuff, like, they can, like, mic up their helmets and coaches can, like, talk to them. And, which, you know, like, not every sport can have that. Like, you're on the field and a coach can be talking to you. And it's like, my faith, like, the things I believe about Jesus are coaching me. And I like that. I like that concept of, like being, like, just being prompted in that way, like having a voice in my head, but the voice in my head is born out of all the things that I believe about the Lord. Like, I believe that God is huge and powerful and in control of stuff. I believe that he loves me. I believe that he wants good stuff for me.
I think, okay, you said a thing there that may change my life, which is the idea that, like, viewing our faith as a person, because, right, like, we do, for people, there are things you just don't do if you want them to be okay and to be healthy.
Yeah.
Like, if you're taking care of, like, if you're taking care of your child, which I'm about to experience, like, I'm not going to swap out his, like, milk that I'm feeding him for Diet Coke right from the bat. It would not go well. Yeah. Like, there are things we know, like, that's, you know, yeah, that would, if he needs a diaper change, I'm not going to let him sit in it for 8 hours. It would not go well.
Right.
So, I mean, I think for our faith, like, what if we thought about that? Like, what are things that are good to grow our faith? What are things that are stunt the growth of our faith? What are things that are bad for it? And we need to really work as far as Jesus, probably, to fix those things. Again, do you think our faith, like, as a person, is loved by dogs?
No question.
Dude. Okay.
There's no question. Dogs are so,
what about the scripture that says an outsider of the dogs?
Wow. I can't believe that you,
this is a Bible study podcast.
Deploy that. Like,
listen,
that,
all I'm saying is, if, what
you
if
had
we
that in
viewed
the chamber.
Our, what
you
if
had,
we viewed our faith?
You had that in the chamber. You've just been wait. Look, right now. So right now, like, Rob and Jeff and, like, Laura Wilson, they're just crying because you just deploy. Like,
no, Wow. All I'm saying is the person who did my premarital counseling was like, hey, don't get a dog. That's a bad idea. Don't get a dog.
So
also,
true.
That person is in this room right now.
It's so true. I caved so hard this past winter and got a doggy.
And so did
Yoshi.
So
like Jack says it. He goes, Yoshi.
Yoshi.
There's like six notes.
Yoch.
So that was cool. So you took the idea of our faith being personified into being like something that we actually have a responsibility for caring for. So like the way that we would care for a child and stuff. See, and that even is so cool. Like that took it in a different direction than I was thinking. I was thinking about my faith being like a coach in my ear. And you're thinking about your faith being like the baby that you're about to care for. Mm. Both of those things are so cool. My faith is prompting me towards some things. And my faith is something that I've got to take care of. Mm. Gosh, that's super, super cool. By the way, there's a couple of cool words in this verse that, like every act prompted by your faith, that word act it's the word in the original language, it's the word, ergon, like where we get ergonomics, and it means like work, like think like when something is ergonomically designed, it's designed well so that work can happen efficiently and well, like, yeah. The word, here's another one. That God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. That word, by his power, it's the Greek word is literally where we get the word dynamite. Mm. It's like dyname.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just the word, dyname. It's the word dynamite. That like, it's like there's some things that you want. There's some things your faith is prompting to. Like, wouldn't it be awesome if God just gave you like the dynamite power just to blow that up, just crush that? That would be so cool. And it's like, I want to pay attention to what my faith is prompting me to do. I love the idea that you introduced that like my faith personified is like the little critter I'm caring for, taking care of.
The little critter. Oh, let me think of, it's my favorite book of all time. What's the Lewis book where they ride the bus?
Oh, The Great Divorce?
Yeah. There's the one guy who has like the little...
Little lizard. Turns into a stallion?
Yeah.
Or like a Pegasus, right?
Yeah,
like
it's
a
like winged the one horse. The one that like goes well.
Yeah. It's like the one person that that gets in. Yeah. When you asked me like, what's my favorite book ever? I was like, is this a test? Is this like a...
It's a friendship test.
I was like... I was just going to start like shotgunning books at you. East of Eden.
Never read it.
The Great Gatsby.
I do actually like that book.
You actually really.
A lot of people don't. I've never read The Jungle.
The Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, but not my favorite of the series.
Prisoner of Azkaban.
No.
No. Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah.
Half-Blood
Prince. I would say it goes like...
You're a Half-Blood Prince guy.
6, 7.
Wow.
3, 4, 5.
7 is 2?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I think 7's in a league of its own.
Wow.
I think once you get to, I mean, the way I see that is everyone you read becomes your favorite.
Mm.
It just goes in that order.
Which is the way you live your life in general.
Of course.
Every meal you eat is your favorite.
Why wouldn't it be? We get to eat things, Lee. We don't have to. The Lord gave us food to eat. Why wouldn't it be amazing?
I don't
amazing?
Understand why you're so mad at me right
because
now.
Because it should be the truth for everybody. Everybody should feel that way. The moment you sit down to eat, you should think, this is the greatest thing I've ever had in my life.
Where did that soapbox come from? Thomas is standing up pointing at me right now.
Why do you lie to our listeners? He just told a lie.
Where did you get that TED Talk Britney mic all of a sudden?
Oh, wow.
Thanks for coming to Thomas's TED Talk, everybody.
What's wrong with me?
Oh, my name is Lee.
Yeah, I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New. Please please send your thoughts on where you stand on the dog
controversy.
No,
text
us.
This is so, I need someone to actually stand up for me. Austin White did, and I'm super grateful for it.
Wow.
Right? Did I make that up?
I think you may have made that up.
No, I think Austin believed the same things I did.
Text us, guys. We love y'all.
When I needed rescue out of deep, deep water. you're